So if I say to you, Christ is ascended, do you know what to respond? There you go. Let's try it. Thank you, Nick. Christ is ascended. Very good. So it's kind of like Christ is risen, but we don't have a lot of time to do that. There's only the one Sunday now. There's a feast day we celebrated last week, and today the Sunday between Ascension and Pentecost. So that's where we are in the life of the church. Last Sunday, we made mention of the Gospel of John, if you recall, and how the Gospel of John is just a little bit different. I said that theologically, it gets into some really deep kind of areas that the other Gospels don't, and how John is reserved for this time of the year, Pascha through Pentecost, because traditionally, there were no more catechumens left. Everybody was in the church. They had already been initiated into the mysteries. So it's thought that you could handle the deep theological stuff. A great example of that is what we have today in the gospel. From chapter 17, the first 13 verses, this is Jesus in prayer to God before he goes to the passion. Oftentimes we hear about Jesus many, many times going and praying in a lonely place. But here we get the content of that prayer, and it's really very special. The reason we have this gospel today is because it's also the remembrance of the Holy Fathers of the First Ecumenical Council in Nicaea. I'll remind you a little bit about that. During the 4th century, there were Christians who believed in Jesus, and they knew what they believed, and they practiced their faith, and they worshipped, but nothing was written down or codified. Nothing was stated as a clear teaching of the Christian faith. So although Christians believed, and although they knew what they believed, there was some sense where there was some unclarity. So there was an opportunity for people to go out and teach something that wasn't quite right. That's exactly what happened. You know, it's one thing to say Jesus is the Son of God, but how is he related to God? How is he like God? How is he different from God? What does that really mean? You know, you can believe that in one sense, but the details get kind of difficult. And that's what happened. A priest named Arius taught what the church deemed a heresy, that Jesus Christ is a creation of God. Like we say in the creed, maker of all things. Well, he considered Jesus one of those things that God made. And he also said that there was a time where the Son of God did not exist, that he came into being at a point in time. Totally unacceptable to the church. So these kinds of things were going on. And once Emperor Constantine blessed Christianity, made it legal and favored it, and eventually himself became a Christian, he called this council of the bishops in the city of Nicaea in 325. And what they did is they sat down and they prayed and they spoke and, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gave us the exact, clear, perfect teaching of the Christian faith. Who is God and who is Jesus? And what do we believe? What do we profess our faith in? So it took a few more councils to get all the details fleshed out in that creed, but it exists as we have it today, the Nicene Constantinopolitan Creed. That's what we profess in this very day in the church. I believe in one God and in one Lord Jesus Christ and all those things that we'll hear professed later. Very important to know what you believe, right? And we believe it. So Jesus says in the prayer, he prays to God and he does really four things. It's kind of a classic. We call it the high priestly prayer of Jesus. Because first of all, he glorifies God, number one. And then he makes a remembrance of all the wonderful things God has done, number two. Number three, he offers intercessions for others. He asks for help and prayers for other people. In this case, his apostles. And then the fourth thing he does is he offers himself in prayer. You know, he makes an offering of himself. So those four things, I point them out to you today because it's exactly what we do in the liturgy. That's what our divine liturgy is. We glorify God. We go through litanies of things that he has done for us. Pay close attention to the anaphora prayer today. St. Basil's that we hear during Lent is much more extensive, and it says all the things that God has done. St. John's has a lot of that too. So it reminds us that God is so good to us and the things that he has done for us. It's a remembrance in making it present and real today. And then, of course, we offer intercessions for the world, everybody in the world, specifically the people that are close to us, our bishops, right? We mention them by name. We mention the people that have offered the oblation today by name. We mention people who are sick or in the hospital who have special needs. And of course, the whole world gets prayed for, some by specific name. And then we offer ourselves, right, to become that sacrifice. We offer ourselves to be like Christ himself, to give of ourselves and to follow his commandment in doing that love for the other. So that's the high priestly prayer of Jesus. We also want to say today that what he says at the beginning of that, he says very clearly that God gave him the power to give eternal life to people who believe. And what is that eternal life? He says in no uncertain terms what it is, that they should know thee, the one true God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So to know God through the word preached by Jesus, delivered by Jesus, embodied by Jesus, personified by him, is eternal life. That's it. And the holy apostles and disciples had that. They heard the word of God given to them by Jesus, and they believed it. They kept it, as it says in the gospel today. Notice how many times the word kept is used. There's almost a play on it. These have kept the word, your word that they received from me, Jesus says, meaning the 12, except for the one, right? He mentions Judas. None of them are lost except the one, the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So special mention of Judas, who did not keep the word, but the others did. So they kept the word. And Jesus' prayer is that God keeps them in his name. Do not deliver them to the evil one. So that keeping, remember, God keeps his promise to us. We need to keep what we have received from him. So it's a great gospel today, and it teaches us the importance of knowing God in our life. And what does that really mean? It's not just intellectual. It's not just learning words in a book or having knowledge up here. It's a life in Christ. Let's put it this way. It's a relationship with God. It's sharing in the divine life in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Partaking in the divine life of God through Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit. And we can say also very clearly and assuredly, that's what we're doing right here today. That's divine liturgy. That's, in fact, all the sacraments. So it starts at your baptism. Baptism isn't just a profession of a belief. It goes way beyond that. It puts you in a life in Christ. It makes you a participant in that divinity. Because just as Christ died for us, we're called to die sacramentally, spiritually, really, and mystically in the water. So our baptism is the first step. Throughout our life, we feed that, we nourish it, we live it, and we strengthen it through the sacramental life. There's no other way. So my words for you today are encouragement. Don't neglect this, what we're doing here today. We're offering that high priestly prayer. Of course, my priesthood is in imitation of Christ's priesthood. It's a reflection of that. His is the one priesthood. Because of that one priesthood, that one sacrifice, I'm able to stand there and offer those prayers to glorify God, to relate and remember all the wonderful things he has done for us in the acts of salvation, to offer intercessions for you and for you and for you and all of us and the whole world. And finally, to commit myself and all of us to offer us up as a living sacrifice to God. So don't neglect that, beloved in Christ. It's real. It's true. It's given by God. The holy disciples and apostles taught it, right? They taught it to the holy fathers that we're remembering today. A little further in that gospel passage, we didn't read it today, but Jesus prays for the ones who will believe through their word, through their testimony. In other words, the ones that the apostles taught, which means the holy fathers, which also means our forefathers and us here today, because we were taught that same word of God in Christ, you know, in the Holy Spirit. So we get busy, I know, in the summer, and we might think, is there time to go to church? I have a busy schedule. The world calls, right? Keeping everything in order. So we might tend to neglect divine liturgy. We can miss a Sunday. We can skip a couple of weeks. If we go out of town, we're on vacation, we don't have to go to church. But I'm telling you, you can't really do that. It's that important. Don't neglect it. You know, cherish it. Live that life that God has given you. Live that life that Christ died so that you can have. Every Sunday is important. Even a Sunday where you look around and you say, all these rows are missing. Choir sounds great, though, for some reason. You guys sound wonderful. And you're all here. So your prayers are beautiful and well-pleasing to God. Remember that. And if somebody's not here, tell them to come. You know, invite them to come. It's that important to us, right? Okay. We want to remember the Holy Fathers then and ask for their prayers for us as we continue in this life and as we struggle against the world. Notice Jesus makes that opposition. These are not of the world, his disciples, just as I am not of the world. So when we're baptized and we die to Christ, die to the world and are born in him, we're not of the world anymore either. But we have to live in the world. So there's always that constant struggle and that battle going on. Pray for strength. Be firm in your faith. Don't take it for granted. Don't neglect it. And ask for the intercessions of the saints. The Holy Fathers, St. Basil, St. Gregory, St. John Chrysostom, all the ones who met those 318 and gave us the gift of the Creed. When we profess it today in church, remember them and remember them in your prayers and ask them for their prayers to strengthen us in this journey in life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.